And isn't it great to be a Christian? Isn't it great to be a Christian? Oh, that sounded better that time. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the congregation together said, Amen. That's Ephesians 3:20-21, and that's the way Paul concludes that particular passage of Scripture there in the book of Ephesians. Before I get into my lesson, I have one announcement I need to make to you. Edith Wilcoxon, that's Judy Holland's mother, she's been suffering with cancer, and she has passed away, and that's where Gary and Judy are. That's why you won't see them today. So I'm asking you to keep the Holland family, Judy especially, in your prayers at the passing of her mother. I made a promise to you back in July of 2017. How many of you remember that promise? I love Ricky Chapman. He's over there. Oh, yeah, I remember it. He doesn't even know what he had for breakfast. He can't tell you. I promised you back then that I was going to do a better job of reminding you and myself about heaven. I've been doing my very best to deliver some lessons periodically. And of course not on every Lord's Day, but periodically to remind us about how important it is that we do not forget about heaven. This world is not my home. It's not your home. This is a place where we will all leave and go to another place, to a spiritual realm. I'm not smart enough, really, and you all know that, to do what I do. That is to get up and try to present a lesson out of the Word of God, but God has allowed me to do it for a number of years, and I'm very grateful for that. But I want to say to you, I'm no different than you in the fact that I am just another servant of God, just another person of God, doing the very best I know to do to live my life for Jesus, and to live my life for the Lord, and to help other people know about that very thing. I hope you never forget that heaven is a resting place. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, "For we who believe have entered into that rest." Heaven's a restful place. And it's a great place for us to think about going. That was Hebrews 4 and verse 3, that verse. And when John was writing, and he tells us about Jesus' words, when Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled," you know that he says that he's going to prepare a place for you. He says, "In my Father's house," I like the King James wording of it best because I like the thought of a mansion. And I guarantee you that my house is a mansion compared to some people's houses. No, I'm not looking at anybody or trying to say that your house is not as nice as my house. But it's so easy for us to take for granted what we have and to think that what we have maybe is not enough sometimes. I hope God forgives me about that sometimes. There's a mansion in heaven waiting. He tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through about 22, I think, or so there, that heaven is a place of security. Heaven is a secure place, a very secure place, because God takes care of us there. The Hebrew writer in chapter 11 again says it is a better country, because see, Abraham was looking for a better place to go. He was looking for a better home. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. What do you know about heaven? Our passage that I'm going to read to us today is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Maybe it looks familiar. I don't know how many of you realize I've been using this passage ever since the first Sunday of this year in my lesson, either as the main scripture or one that I've quoted from the side. Therefore, I love this wording, we do not lose heart. Now, if you're out here in this crowd and you got a problem, and well, let me rephrase that. For everybody here today, for your problem, or maybe it's problems, don't give up. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to give in, give up, and give in to him. We don't lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, now did Paul have to say that? Just go look in the mirror for those of you that are on my side of the fence. Somebody didn't have to tell me that. But though our bodies, our outer man is decaying, yet our inner person, our inner man, is being renewed day by day. And for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I want to just remind you this morning that we're not home yet. This is not our home. This world is never going to be your home. Now, I know that that's a hard thing to grasp because it's difficult for all of us, I think. I'm not sure I really know why the older we get, maybe it's that we get a little more fearful. I want to remind you, you're not home. When we are present in the body, again, this is the Apostle Paul, chapter 5 and in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians. He says, when we are present in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, probably you have experienced absence from the Lord anyway. And if you're not in Christ, you're experiencing that now. But just being in Christ is not necessarily insurance that you will always have a connection or feel like you have that connection to the Lord the way that you should. I don't mind saying to you that I'm concerned about our country. I get concerned about the body of Christ or the church, my family, my grandkids. I love those boogers when they get there. I love them when they leave. Take that any way you want to. I love them. It's great to have them. You know that's the reward that God lets you have, grandkids, for not killing your own. You know, back when you really wanted to. I know that the Lord expects me to be wiser because of my years. Faith and love, they are the answers to fear. The Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 4 and at verse 5, he says, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. When I concentrate on the Lord, when I concentrate on the Word of God, when I get on my knees, so to speak, maybe that's you in the driver's seat of your car. Y'all pray when you're driving, okay? Don't forget to use your blinkers, okay? When you're praying, my fear goes away. I'm reminded of how the power or how powerful it is when God is in my life. I don't mind saying to you that I don't know what the future holds. I can think of all of these scenarios, but we know who holds the future. Are you with me? Come on, wake up. I don't want to put you to sleep. Heaven is our home. When Paul is writing out of the NIV version, Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 1, he says, since then that you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts, everybody looking, set your hearts on things where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Then the NIV translates the next verse and then says, set your minds on the things above and not on the earthly things. I did it like this because I want you to know that this is not what God's talking about when He says set your heart on things. He's talking about this. This is the heart of mankind. What we think about. Our minds need to be set upon Jesus Christ, where He is seated at the right hand of God. In Matthew chapter 6, at verse 20, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust creep in, destroy, where thieves break in and kill and take your valuables. But store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where, are you listening? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be also. Where are you storing up your treasures? And what would you say those treasures might be? You know, seriously, if you were making out a list today, What would you put on that list that your treasures would be, that you're storing up in heaven? How important is that to you? We're not home yet. We're not home yet. This world is not our home. Just a little bit of history lesson for you. You can sleep through this part if you want. From the battle that was at Shiloh, I don't know whether you know it or not, but it was the bloodiest battle of the Civil War. In fact, it was the only battle where a high-ranking general actually died. One of the infantry men wrote this note to his life from this period of time. He said, "I will see you in a few days. Love, his name." No, he won't. And no, he didn't. The lieutenant came by. The infantry came by that night. He said, as they were pitching their tents, he says, "Don't dig your stakes too deeply, because we'll be leaving quickly in the morning." No, they won't. Life is full of surprises and disappointments. Most of those men did not leave that place in western Tennessee along the Tennessee River. They lost their lives there. Both sides. It was ugly. It only lasted 2 days. And until the Vietnam War, there was never a war where a battle took so many lives. I think there's a lot of reasons why today that we don't focus more on heaven. So I'm going to ask you, I've got 3 points. I don't know how long they'll take, but you'll listen to them, right? I'll try to be a good steward about it. The more we focus on heaven, the things that are unseen, the less we will be attracted to the things of this world. So, think about this as I give you some scriptures. What is your life focused on? By that I mean, what is it that floats your boat? What is it that chews your gum? What is it that licks your plate? Where are you really focused? When John is writing in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, he says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." The one who does the will of God lives forever. Now I'm going to do like Jesus did to Martha. Do you believe it? No, seriously, do you believe it? Is your life reflecting that you believe it? Is your life really focused on the things in heaven, the will of God? Do you believe that you really are going to live forever? Can you say no to the world? When Paul is writing to Timothy, his little son, his favorite son in the faith, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, I don't know if I can read this the way it was really written, okay? But if you listen to the words, I think you'll hear someone crying out This is the Apostle Paul. You know, the guy who's been drug out two or three times outside the city and left for dead. The guy who doesn't back down for anything when it comes to standing up for the Lord. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and he's gone to Thessalonica. And Crescens has gone to Galatia. And Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark. And bring him with you. He's helpful in my ministry. My cloak I left with Carpus at Troas. And oh yes, bring my scrolls, my books. Have you ever had a Demas? You know, have you ever had anyone that just walked off and left you? I don't know if you can read that, but that says to me that Paul, the Apostle Paul, got discouraged too. He was discouraged in his life in this particular case. You know, David sitting over there is not responsible for your young people's spirituality. You are. He's not responsible to see they have spiritual activities. You are. It's not this group all sitting here together, our responsibility to see to it that somebody else is spiritually fed. You are. That's the reality of it. The idea is that we are to focus upon heaven. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you two questions. Can I ask you two? The first one is, do you think we're getting better and better as a bunch of people here in this world, or worse and worse? You don't have to respond out loud. How many of you think we're getting worse and worse? I hope that when you look at your own life that you don't say that. I hope that when you look at your life that you say, I'm concentrating on heaven. I'm looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm focusing upon Him. Here's the second question. Do you think that there's too much world in the church? Or how about this? Or there's not enough church in the world? This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, I think often that the thoughts enter my mind that Satan is just stronger than I am. You ever think that? It just seems like it's too hard to do what's right. You know, that would be true if it were only us. But when John is writing in 1 John 4 and verse 4, he says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Can you believe that this morning? Christ in you is greater than anything Satan can ever do. Maybe it was like the lieutenant that was telling the soldiers, "Don't sink your stakes too deeply." Maybe some of us get our stakes too deep. We don't keep our focus on heaven. We don't remember that we're just passing through. That this is not our eternal place. Paul says, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." This is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. "And then be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Satan is not stronger than the Lord. And the Lord is who is in you. Secondly, we must focus on heaven because we have a permanent hope regardless of what we go through on this earth. Now say amen to that. "For this great mercy He has given us new birth." This is 1 Peter 1. Verses 3 and 4. "He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." Man, does it get any better or any more straightforward than that? "Oh, let not your hearts be troubled," said Jesus to these men who were heartbroken. "You believed in God, believe also in me, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We have a permanent place reserved in heaven for us, regardless of what this world tries to do to you. Permanent place in heaven. Did you think you would ever live long enough to see and to hear what you see and hear today? You can be shot at school. Is that a travesty or what? You can go to work and be shot. And we know you can go to worship and be shot. And if you think that that's just isolated incidents, brethren, that's been going on for years. Maybe not as rampant maybe as it seems to be in some places today, but it has always been going on. You can't think of a place on this earth that has not been troubled by atrocities or unthinkable in our time. We live in a very difficult time where folks just don't respect one another or look for the good in people, because we've become so ungodly out there in the world. It's all a precaution. I understand. I understand why we do what we have to do, because we can't count on people telling us the truth. In this life, anything can happen anytime. We need to focus on and tell others about heaven. Other people need to know that this world is not their home. They're only passing through. James tells us, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go to and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. For what is your life? Just appears for a little while and vanishes away. But what we ought to say is, if the Lord will, if the Lord wills, because brethren, no matter what anybody else says, He's still in charge. After death, you will wake up in the arms of Jesus or in the everlasting fires of hell. In this life, we don't know what's about to happen. But I want you to listen. But in the life to come, we are promised eternity with the Heavenly Father, and you can take that to the bank. For me to live is Christ, says Paul, and to die is gain. I'm caught between two things. I would rather depart, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I plan to preach till I die. I'd be happy if I just killed over dead when I'm done. I mean, I'm going to preach till I die somewhere. Thank you. Look for the good. Face the worst. Find the opportunity, knowing that we are not home yet, because this world is not our home. Focusing on heaven, last thing, helps me to long to be where I need to be, looking for something better. How many of you ever had one goldfish in a little old bowl? Come on, let me see. Did anybody ever have one of those? Did you ever observe that crazy goldfish at the side of that bowl going bump, bump, bump? Now, he's been fed. He's got water. Got everything he wants. But he spends all the rest of his time going bump, bump, bump on that bowl. I'm just sure that goldfish is saying there's got to be something better than this. You know why he's bumping that? Because he's in a place where he wasn't designed to be. He's supposed to be in a river or a lake or a large body of water. He's not supposed to be in some little bowl going boop, boop, boop. And neither are you. We were not designed to be here for eternity. God has set eternity in man's heart. That's Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. God has set eternity in man's heart. And people all over the place are doing everything they know to do to fill up their longing, whether it's with money or things or pleasure, but there is only one way to fill that up, because only God can fill that part of mankind. Only God can do it. I like what it was said of Moses in Hebrews 11 and 25, that he would rather share ill treatment with the children of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And verse 26 then says, for he looked for his future reward. I don't know how many of you like country music, but I love it. Brooks and Dunn did a song a long time ago. I got a big award for it, but it wasn't very well publicized to maybe other people that knew a whole lot about it. It was just called I Believe. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. But I love the line that's in it. I'm going to read it to you. I don't know the verse, but there's got to be more in this world than a slow-moving hearse. You can't take it with you. Though our outward man is perishing, inwardly you are being renewed day by day. Well, I have to wear hearing aids now. Use this thing here so we can talk. I'm not like Bill. Bill can talk to you and he don't need any amplification. Just keep getting older. There was a man over in Mark chapter 5, a story, and he's also found in the book of Luke and over in Matthew as well, but he was running naked over there in the tombs. And the Lord healed him when nobody else could. This is it. You're going home. He said, Lord, you've convinced me. I want to be a part of the campaign. I want to help you pass out songbooks, or I'll print flyers for you. I want to do something for you. He said, no. No. Legion, I want you to go home and tell your family what the Lord has done for you. If you don't get anything out of the message at all, go home today and tell your family what the Lord has done for you. Rehearse that story to them. Let them know. Tell your children what the Lord has done for you, so that you can share eternity with them. I love every one of you. Maybe there's somebody else who needs to be baptized into Christ today. We'll make time to do that. If that's your case, we ask you to come. Or for whatever reason, if there's something that you need to get off of your heart or off of your mind so that we could pray with you, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.